Do what? Huh? No, I don't have a mic on it. The mic's coming in Tuesday. So, I tested it this morning. It picks up as long as I don't keep banging on it. Then. Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to look at Psalms 9. So if you want to turn there and hold your finger there, get your place. What I'm about to state is not presumption on the believer in the least. It is a confident, faithful expectation. Jeremiah chapter 29 in verses 10 through 14. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or end of expectation. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 18. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 18. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. The two verses in particular is this one and in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, where the Lord himself says, I know the thoughts I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What do we, the elect, expect from our God? That's a reasonable question. What do we expect from our God? We, as the redeemed, have great expectations of our Lord. These expectations, as I said before I read the scriptures, is not presumption. It is a faith-given, faith-born realization that what God says to His people, He's going to perform. Based upon what He has said to us in His Word, in His promises, and in His everlasting covenant, I want to look at 10 things, and there's many more. What are some of these biblical expectations that God gives to us? Word, think about this week. Just think of one of them. Just pick one. But I've got 10, and there's more. But we'll just look at 10. These expectations are given to who? In Psalms 9, it's the poor. In Matthew 11, blessed are the poor. It's His people who are made poor by His grace, who understand, who have been taught by the Spirit of grace and supplications to see in us no good thing, not one. To see that if it were left up to us, we would not come to Him that we may have life. If it was left up to us, we would see that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the singing about the gospel, the speaking, fellowshipping the gospel is foolishness, is total foolishness. But we, knowing by the grace of God our sins and what we are and who we are, and we understand that His name shall be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. So we acknowledge that. We own that. We understand that. This then is for the people of grace. people who understand by God's Word and Holy Spirit revelation, what are some of these biblical expectations? One, out of Genesis 22, and you don't have to turn there, but in 22:44, where Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord. Isaac says, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself as the sacrifice. So the Lord provided and has provided, past tense, the satisfaction and the sacrifice for his people. So first thing, we expect the Lord to provide. His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. In that context, in Genesis, our great God will provide himself as the sacrifice for our sins and accept Christ in our stead forever. He didn't do it once, and it's based on time. No, it's based on eternity. So we expect the Lord to provide spiritually for us. Our greatest need is to be made one of his children, to be adopted into the family of God. And in general, we expect the Lord to provide for us. God in Christ Jesus will provide daily for us in this temporal life, and most assuredly in the spiritual life. Secondly, we expect, out of Matthew, let's turn there, Matthew chapter 6. We expect, as his dear children, Jehovah to grace us with all things necessary or needful in this life, therefore abating anxious care and worry on our parts. We don't have to worry about what we're going to wear. We don't have to worry about what we're going to feed. Because in Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better, or more worth more to him than they? This passage in Matthew 6 has always rebuked me, because tomorrow I will get up and wonder what am I going to put on? What am I going to wear? Is there enough gas in the tank? There's all these things that we worry with. But he says, why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. After these thoughts, concerns, wealth management, property, job, positions, titles, importance, community importance, he says, all these things do the Gentiles, meaning unbelievers, seek. Let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth. Towards the end of my career, and I did like my jobs, but towards the end of my career, clock in and clock out. If somebody needed help, there's a guy that needed help out in the parking lot, it wouldn't start, I got jumper cables. No, I'm not ignoring people who need. But as far as my responsibility to my boss, and he paid me, that's what work is, That was done. So we expect Jehovah to grace us with all things necessary and needful in this life to take away our anxious cares and the worry on our part. Thirdly, we bank on. That's expect. I was trying to look up different words for expectations and expect. We bank on our tender and wise Father to cause all things to work for our good and his glory. Isn't that what Romans 8? I mean, everybody knows Romans 8. But we can expect that. The believer, not the unbeliever. Everybody says, "Oh, it works." I believe stuff works for a reason. And what they're saying is they're sidestepping the grace of God. And I said something to someone the other day. Everything works according to God's purpose. They don't want to hear that. They just want to hear everything works. I know everything works for a reason. No, everything works according to God's purpose, and it works for good to them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. This is reality and is very pertinent truth to all His people. It's pertinent. Fourthly, we can confidently say that our merciful substitute will comfort His people, whom He foreknew. That's in John 14, John 15, and John 16. He says that it's expedient that I go away because I'm going to send the Comforter to you. So we expect that. We expect, and it is the apostles, when He was leaving, when He told them, this is what He said out of His word, He said, "I'm going to send the Comforter," and they expected it. Is that presumption? No, that's God-given faith. That's expectation. That's fourthly. Fifthly, we expect to, as we grow in age and in years, to have a closer walk with our loving guide. Closer walk. John chapter 15, He talks about, "I abide in you and you abide in me." A marriage relationship. Now don't answer this, husbands and wives. But as you've grown, as the years multiply from the day of marriage till now, I hope and pray that you've grown closer. Understand, dwelling with wives according to knowledge. You didn't have that much knowledge. But we can expect. Because He says the Holy Spirit will take the things of me, or takes the words and reveal them to you. Concerning Christ, concerning me. Sixthly, we can depend upon Emmanuel to at one time or another fulfill every promise He has made to us through the blood of the Lamb. This passage in Jeremiah, He says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." We depend upon it. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any of His people should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We can depend on our God through the blood of the Lamb, that what He says, He will perform. And it says in Hebrews 11, if you want to look at some of those brethren who walked by faith, it says they were persuaded of them, and they did not see Him. Many of them did not. They didn't see Christ come, but they were persuaded of them. What is that? The promises. What God had said He would do. Seventhly, we are convinced and expect God to answer our petitions and prayers as they are according to the faith that He gives. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. "And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If you lack wisdom, I need wisdom in this situation. I need wisdom to see Christ. I need wisdom to see how Christ would have handled this, or how I'm to handle this through the Word. Ask God. He gives all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be. It shall be. Not maybe, might be. It shall be. So I can expect. I'm convinced that God will answer all of our petitions as it's according to His Word. That's what faith does. Faith lays hold of the promise. Eighthly, we can expect, if it is His will and He gives life, health, and soundness of mind, we can seek to see Him in His second coming. Our Lord is coming again. Now, I don't know whether we'll be alive, but if He gives life and health and soundness of mind, Hebrews chapter 10, Revelation 22, very explicitly say He's coming again. This book says He is coming again. So we can expect, whether us, our children, we can expect that He'll be coming again. Ninthly, we expect by and by to be made like unto our groom and our sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that hath begun a work. He will continue it. He will continue it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is a declaration of truth. And therefore, we believe that this book is without error. It's the Word of God. And what He says here is true. Expect it. Expect it. We expect by and by to be made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, the tenth, there's the last that I have, and I love this one. We thoroughly expect to one day see our Beloved face to face. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And one of my favorite passages, Psalms 17. Psalms chapter 17. Psalms chapter 17. I've got this one dated. So in April of 2004, the Lord gave me this promise. And like I said, Spurgeon said, just date them. And then when I'm going back in my study Bible and looking, I see that, and my eyes always go to that. And I'm like, well, I remember that. And it's just a warm, beautiful experience all over again. As for me, and as for you, expect it. If you understand who God is, who you are, what He's done, where He's at. As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. The second point I have is simply, why do we expect so much from our God? How can we stand confident therein? Four simple reasons. Because God, Malachi says, and in other places in Hebrews, He does not change. If God has once spoken it to your heart, expect it. God does not change. Secondly, because of Jehovah's everlasting covenant. And I love that passage in 2 Samuel, David's last words. Although it be not so with my house, my children still do not have an interest in the gospel. They would rather be doing something else than hearing me speak with my children and grandchildren, sitting them around the house and speaking of the grace of God. But we can expect so much from our God because of Jehovah, because of His everlasting covenant promise. He said, "The Lord hath made with me this covenant, this promise, ordered in all things and rock solid sure, even though I don't see it." He's done that because that's God, and He doesn't change. So you see how these all are built on His character, His attributes. God does not change. Secondly, because Jehovah's of His everlasting covenant promise. And thirdly, because of who it is that's made the promise and who it is that stands for us, who it is that speaks for us. Christ the Lord, our surety. That's who it is. And fourthly, because it is He. And this is, well, how do I know that image of somebody throwing a life preserver out? You got to grab. Well, how do I know I'll trust Him until I die? How do I know I'll hang? How do I know I'll keep? Well, this last reason. Why do we expect so much from our God? How can we stand confident therein? Because He's done all the work. And I mean all the work. He initiates repentance, faith, by His grace, which is that not of yourselves. Because He, the great and supreme sovereign, through His beloved Son, by the God the Holy Spirit, initiates, makes us willing in the day of His power, keeps us, and seals us till the end. It's an unbreakable seal. That's why we have confident expectation in what He says. Now, I'll close. I have to say this. I have to do this. I added this last night about 11 or 12. I don't know what time it was. But I got to close. But I got to close with a warning and an exhortation. Because if you look at the word expectations, expect in the Scriptures, there's a lot more negative than positive. So I have to issue this warning. Firstly, if you do not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's no repentance, if there's no faith, there's no hope, and no eventual change, then you will also have an expected end. One of eternal separation, one of damnation, wrath, and judgment. So my exhortation to us and to all of us, flee from the wrath to come, fall upon Christ for mercy, full and free, cry out to the sovereign mercy of God without money, without price, trust upon Christ singularly, solely, and simply. And we who believe are continually exhorted to do so day in and day out. Trust Him singularly, solely, and simply. And I expect, based on this word, that you will find peace and help in your time of need. For He says, back in our text in Jeremiah 29, "Then shall you call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you will seek me and find me when you shall search me with your whole heart." Expect that to be true. If you once cry for God for mercy, He will. You found Him. You found Him and you trust Him. To God be the glory, all glory and all honor. Amen and amen. Bruce, would you close us, please?